Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Oh, H-Town! We got a win, and all is good as in the world. We can relax, we can have fun, it's a manic Monday, we don't care, because, man, that was enjoyable football to watch, and the Texans got a win, and you got extended football for free. So you are happy as can be, right? So here's the deal. Travis Johnson's with me. Trap is right here.
Hello.
Good to see you. My man Nick, looking kind of grungy spiffy, is behind the window. And we were talking before the show, and I decided that what we're going to bring for you guys today is we're going to bring you a little variety in your spice of life, because we know that everybody else is talking about what everybody else is talking about, which is that game. We're going to start out with some cooking tips. I'm going to give you guys four different ways to prepare chicken for under $25 in which you can get at least one meal for your family. Then we're going to talk about how to do some good and easy things around the house that can save your electricity bill by $50 a month. We're going to review the last three episodes of The Real Housewives. And then if we have time, we're going to talk about the cold front coming in on Thursday and the fact that people are going to probably have to unpack those Ken Bone sweaters because it's going to be chilly. And I think that'll take up probably the first 55 minutes of the show. And then with about 5 minutes to go in the opening hour, we are just going to bring it like you would not believe. We're going to break down every single thing that went right and wrong and tell you things that no one else is out there telling you, because that's how good we can be if we want to be. But we're saving it, because if the Texans can do it, we can do it too.
But what happens if all our fans leave first?
Well, then basically that gets down to the whole tree in the forest thing again, where if a win happens on Kirby in overtime but you're not there to see it, did it happen?
Did it happen?
And you got to find out the next morning when you wake up and get on your phone, the internet. So we got a lot to talk about, because the Texans took 55 minutes off last night, but they found a way to salvage the final five and then overtime and get a win. And why can't the Brock Osweiler of the final five in OT be the guy that plays for the first 55 minutes? And how can you not say after that game that the hot seat is getting warmer on Rick Smith, Bill O'Brien, and even the ownership? Because there are some things that are still continuously wrong with that franchise. And the fact that they are 4-2, yay, their division's terrible, but are they going anywhere? And are you okay with that? So I open it up to the phone lines right off the bat. If you were at the game yesterday, tell me if you McGrady'd or not. Because if you McGrady'd, then you stayed and saw the final two drives and overtime. Or you can say I was at the game, and then people are going to go, well, how was that? How was the crowd during the final 5 minutes? And then you're going to find out real quick that you went home early because you wanted to beat the rush to get out of there because you thought it was over when they were down 14. There's a lot to talk about. But I do realize that there were not a lot of people in that building with about 4 minutes to play. And that, again, gets back to my overriding theme that I keep harping on. Why do Houston fans do that? And why don't they stay to the bitter end with their team? I stayed to the bitter end watching my teams this weekend take it in the hiney. And Trav, you and I have tweeted about this over and over again. We ride and die with our teams, and it's not going to change whether they win or lose, or they're undefeated, or they haven't won a game.
They bailed on the
I had to literally watch the Dodgers take one when they had that grand slam hit on them, and it pained me to watch the next inning and some change. But I stayed. I had to watch the entire Texans game, and I stayed. I've had to watch my Chargers all year long do what they've done.
One of the four Wees,
yep. And I stayed. But I don't understand it. Why pay good money to go home early when if you live in Fort Bend County, your kids didn't go to school today anyway? And I don't understand it, to be honest with you. I'm not paying my money to go to a football game and leave. You know, my son yesterday, it was funny when we were watching the Dodgers game, mm-hmm. He said, "Daddy, baseball games are 4 hours?" I was like, "Yeah, you didn't know that." He was like, "It seems like only an hour when we go." So
that's a kid that's dialed in, because yeah. There's so many people that think baseball is just so long and boring. They don't get the strategy. They don't understand. That's great when a kid young enough can understand that it seems like it's flying by. That means he's really in depth.
No question. And I didn't realize until we rewatched the game. He stayed up with me at 1 a.m. when I got back in, and he was like, "Dad, let's rewatch the Dodger game." And we rewatched the game. He's like, 4 hours.
You fast forward a lot?
Yeah, just the commercials. Okay. Just the commercials. But we watch every at bat. And I asked him, "Tell me what you see." You know what I mean?
That's great.
And it's just because, you know what? Baseball is a thinking man's game.
It loves
so
it.
You can't get any better if you don't watch the sport.
I explain the same thing to my wife, because Lisa's always like, you know, she loves baseball. But, you know, on TV, she loves going to games. But on TV, she just doesn't get it. She's like, "I just can't. And I know you can because you played it. So you're thinking about." I said, "Yeah, if you understand the strategy behind it, it's just a phenomenal sport. But if you don't, I understand how you can say it's boring. I'm not going to argue the point if people don't think there's enough excitement, but it's a lot better than soccer."
I said it.
Because I've seen USA play Mexico at NRG, and it was huge, and it ended in a 0-0 tie, and it was 3.5 hours later, and I just wondered if there was some place online that I could get those 3 hours of my life back.
I feel like there's more engagement, though, in soccer. I mean, I appreciate a soccer game, for sure.
Because of the fan base. Because you're looking at those that come very passionate, if you know, and I emphasize passion when I say that, when they're supporting their team.
But I think fans can appreciate
that.
He didn't at all.
Not at all.
No, but I think fans could appreciate the defensive, Nick, and the challenges on offense. I think they can appreciate the sport aspect of it.
You were at the football game last night, correct?
Yep.
So can you verify that there were probably the McNairs and 10 of their closest friends in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, they were gone. They were bailing in the third quarter.
I mean, really?
In the third quarter, you could see a huge dent. You could clearly see the empty seats midway, by midway third quarter, for sure.
Because I give NBC credit. They used a lot of low angles, so you didn't get to see a lot of shots of the crowd. Like, if you're down there at the big Sequoia, they're going to try and do everything in their power to try and hide the fact that the middle sections are empty.
I like how you just called the big Sequoia.
Right. But you know, they actually would look for seat fillers for regular season games, because it drives them absolutely crazy that the people either don't show or they don't stay in their seats because there's so much to do. But when I saw that fourth quarter and I looked at the score and I knew they were down 14 they started the drive with about 5 and change.
Yeah.
I was like, how many people are still there? And then Al Michaels even makes the comment and starts talking about the fact, "Hey, there's not a lot of people left, but boy, they're loud right now."
Oh, and they did get loud, but you know, you almost want to ask, why don't y'all go back and paint the seats like they are in the Superdome? So when you scan, it looks like it's a bunch of people with different colored shirts on.
Yeah, I mean, look, like with the Miami Heat before they got LeBron, they had these banana yellow seats.
Yeah,
and you could tell that literally 3/4 of the lower bowl was empty, and so they redid all those seats. Because they wanted to make sure that you couldn't tell just how many people, because they do the whiteout in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the T-shirts are on the seats.
The T-shirts
so
on
it
the
looks
seat.
Like it's full.
Exactly.
But in a regular season, man, I mean, it looked like someone, Big Bird and his relatives, were filling the lower bowl, because it was all yellow empty seats. So that's something. Well, I'll tell you what. We got a lot to talk about. We want you to talk it. If you were at the game, call us, tell us. Tell us if you were there. Tell us if you stayed. And please be honest, because, look, we understand how Houston fans are. I'm not calling you fair weather. I'm just trying to figure it out. Travis is the hitman, so he's going to call you guys fair weather. I'm just saying that I've seen it over the years, and now last night seems to be another one of those games where you look at it and go, "You just did the people bail too early, and is it really that important to beat the parking line than to stay and try and get your team a victory when they needed it more than anything else?" So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the fact that I still think Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith should be on the hot seat. Travis, you got anything to say about that?
When we come back from commercial.
No, see, wait for that, because you know Travis is. If there's one time that Travis remotely starts to be politically correct, it's when I throw questions like that at him. That's a curveball at the knees when he's sitting dead red. But we want you a part of the discussion. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us. You can call us. Nick's going to be checking the text line so he can have a bigger part in the show.
Nick,
and we'll be checking tweets all show long. I'm at Pac-Man Joel, and I will not change that name, even though they took it in the Pac-Man. And he is at Trap J99. and at No Hit Nick. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Welcome to the good life. Welcome to the good life.
The wait is over.
Welcome to the good life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We like to infuse energy into your life. We bring energy every single day on this show. And by the way, if you haven't heard what we brought to the table last week, well, then you should probably get on the podcast. Because again, with your college and football schedule, we basically painted a Picasso-like picture of things that we said would probably happen, could happen, and were close to happening. And almost all of them came true. And dare I say, Trav, again. We have set an uncanny...
It's a lot of games.
Yes. But we have set an uncanny ability to be able to tell the listener the expert advice and opinions that they need when they go into a big weekend or big games otherwise. So if people don't realize, and this is the thing that really frustrates me, and I've said this to you guys too, and I think more of you out there that actually have already figured it out before most, give yourself a pat on the back. You're smarter than the rest of the city of Houston. But start telling people to tune in, to realize you have choices, you have options. Choices. And from 1 to 4, if you're with us, not only are you welcome in the living room, and you're going to get a good seat as long as you show you can bring it, but the bottom line is you're going to come out smarter than you did when you came in.
Oh, no question. No question. I mean, the bottom line is if you look at our track record, I don't know about gambling, and I don't know about anything else.
Right.
But when you listen to us, the one thing has been sure is you hear about the games, and you're tuning into the games that end up being the greatest games of the weekend. When we talked about the NC State-Clemson game.
Yes, we did.
And all of a sudden, that comes down. That goes into overtime, and NC State has a chance to win that game and knock off the number 3 team in the country.
They should have won it in regulation.
They should have won it in regulation. But everybody, once they win in overtime, we knew they were going to lose.
Right.
We gave you the Tulsa U of H game.
Yes, we did.
We gave you the Tulsa U of H game and told you, listen, this is not going to be a cakewalk.
Yep.
You know, for U of H.
Let me say something else too, because you know I was a little testy yesterday.
The West.
You and I talked. You know, I took we'll get to that because I took 2 losses squarely between the cheeks this weekend, and it was more painful. Well, and it was also painful because of the fact that I had a Buckeye who I used to respect, but now can't stand in Kirk Herbstreit because he's arrogant on Twitter. But the Buckeye calls the Buckeye Badger game. I don't like that. And then Aikman, the Cowboy, calls the Packer Cowboy game. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I went out on Twitter and I said it. Congrats to the Cowboys and their fan base. They got the win. They deserved it. Dak looks great. I'll give them all that. But here's another thing that really ticks me off. We got a lot of people who consider themselves I'm going to call them aficionados. Mm-hmm. Some people think they're experts at analyzing radio and everything in this town.
Yeah.
Right? But don't generalize us with the rest of them. Okay,
no.
I'm sick and tired of that. Because if I see one more person say that everybody, you know, you don't go to 610, and I hate calling out names, but you know that you don't go to the flagship station because the flagship is going to be all wine and roses, and I don't disagree with that,
yes.
Right? But don't rope us in with everybody else, because if there's one station and particularly one show, but yeah. I give all the guys on this station credit, we do not hold back. And if there's something wrong, and if you haven't heard me punch this desk several times over, then you haven't listened to the show enough to realize I am the voice of more than reason for everything Houston Texans. And I said this, I would like to see them win. But because you all know that I'm a Packer fan, I call it like I see it. I get annoyed by the things they do wrong,
yes.
And I never waver or go back on the things that I've said. And really, if you follow Twitter this weekend, you realize I believe that in all my takes on sports.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So I'm tired of people saying, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. Or these guys are all going to say things, but then they're going to go back on it. That's a bunch of BS. What we say, we mean, and what we say. Now, you sometimes, because you are the ambassador.
But because I still got to go over there.
That's what I mean.
So,
because you have the magic red golf shirt.
And at the same time, I do talk more, you know.
Noise.
Noise, yeah. I was trying to figure out another
word. I know, I'm here to help.
I do talk more noise than anybody else, except for you at, you know, most of the time.
Right.
And I don't mind talking about them. But I just know it's a few of my guys that are still over there, and it's still I still got to go over there and do business with a few people over there. So I just can't. I don't want to just.
So you're 75. and I'm 100.
I just don't want to. Yeah, exactly.
You go 75% on everything else you are, but on the Texans, I'm the guy that does not waver. I go at them, and I give them credit where credit is due, but I'm the first one to call them out, and I'll tell you who's on the hot seat. I'm telling you what I don't like, and I don't care.
Well, you know what? I think right now it's hard. It's hard for every. It's not hard for everybody in radio. I think it's hard right now. Everybody right now is got their panties in a bunch over there just because of the $72 million man. The $72 million
as
man.
As I watched that game last night, and then I watched it again. I watched it again this morning. And I kept saying, I want to find a lot of things to blame and a lot of people, right? And it kept going right back to 17. It kept going right back to the guy behind center. And then when you, it compiles itself and you look back and say, this is the same damn problem they've had for how many years now?
Yeah.
You know?
Last three, at least.
And I know you being in that locker room, too, in certain of these situations. People, as much as they bashed Matt Schaub on the way out, they forget he gave you four really good years.
He gave you four darn good years.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. So that's why it's just Lamar Miller. Kudos over there. Great. This guy, the only question was durability. This man is a one-man machine.
Yeah.
But offensively, you saw last year's Texans offense for the most part, or 2 years ago, because you just have one option on one side at receiver. Thank God he started using the tight end.
Yeah.
And one hell of a tailback that can also catch the ball. So I kept looking at where are the problems? Where can I point the finger? Well, I'm telling you right now, the one that I really wanted to point the finger at or find several things wrong with, but the only one that I kept coming back to was the quarterback. Well, and the national guys were, I told you this, the national guys were not going to hold punches, and they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing we all heard and everybody talked about was how bad of a deal the $72 million were. But I'm still up in the, you know why I'm still up in there? And this is not me trying to be a homer. It's not me trying to stick up for the wheeze. This is not me trying to stick up for anything. I just wonder, is it his grasp on the offense, or is it also the receiver's grasp on the offense? Because what I see is him holding the ball when a guy gets open, I think making sure that he's open.
Mm-hmm.
And like Keenan talked about, like Chester talked about when we had him in here last week, are these option routes, are they confusing him? Or is it confusing the receiver? Like, I don't know if they have enough history together to have trust in each other to say, I'm going to believe that you see what I see, and you're going to let.
Do you see what I see?
No, I do not. That's why I threw the INT.
And I throw the INT. Yeah. We could have our own Christmas carols.
But I mean that's why I think he's been so hesitant, because if you saw the interception he threw to
Davis, made one hell of a play.
But he threw it behind him because it seemed like he didn't know which way he was going. And all of a sudden, when he cut inside, he was like, oh, he's open. Let me force it in there. But now you're a day late, a dollar short. And guess what happened? It goes behind him because he's running. You got to anticipate these throws.
God, there's a bad joke in there with everything you just said.
But go ahead and give me the bad joke.
No, it wouldn't be on you. You would laugh at it, but then it would get political and people would get all sensitive and...
No, go ahead and tell
me. No, because you said there was a small opening and he tried to force it. And it just, there's a lot. Of, just, all right, so anyway, we're going to get to a lot during the course of the show. But I was going to say, that's locker room talk.
You're fired.
And that's right. And Albert, you wanted to get with the question that I started the show with, because I want to know, were you there? Did you stay? And be honest with me, how was the crowd? Albert, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Man, I tell you what. I stayed. I took my 8-year-old son. He's starting to get into the football game.
Good for you.
And, man, he was cheering. And I tell you what, the last 2 minutes, we got up to go use the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my boy, I said, he asked me, he says, Dad, are we going to go back in? I said, yeah, we're going to go back in. We're going to sit down and we're going to finish watching this game. He said, you know why? And he tells me, an 8-year-old, because we're pros, Dad, and we believe in the Texans. We don't give up on them. I said, you're right. Let's go sit down. Let's finish watching this game.
See, that's what, Albert, I love that because you're teaching the kid the right things at a young age. That's what I like to hear because this is how these things are instilled in the youth of America so that you don't get another generation that does the same thing.
And doesn't appreciate the game. Because that's one thing, and we appreciate you, Albert, for calling in too, man. Thanks, bro. And, you know, one thing is I've always grown up for the love of sports. Like, that was always my thing. Like, yep. I always, no matter what, I watched the NBA draft. I watched the NFL draft. I watched the Major League draft. Why? Because I love sports and I love the information that those avenues give me. Not just watching the game, but actually learning the game and giving it to your kids early. They appreciate it. They understand it because then if you know the history of the game, you're bound to conquer it.
It's like the movie. It's for the love of the game. When you've developed the love of the game at an early age, you understand everything a lot better, to put it in perspective, but you delve deeper because of it to where you want to know the strategies. You want to know the whys and the hows.
And that's the beauty. I mean, and Albert, it's nothing like fatherhood, to be honest with you. And then, you know, it's not enough men.
I got
out
a little
really
girl,
taking,
but I would love a little boy just to be like and Albert.
And you'll get one. You just keep your socks on and be on top. You'll get one.
I'm getting all the advice.
But, I mean, when you look at how I grew up with a father, and you look at how my kids get to grow up with their daddy, and Albert and his sons, like, that's a beautiful thing. And the share sports, like, it brings a tear to my eyes some days when I get to watch him enjoy the game. Like, I took him to the Rice game. Mm-hmm. Even though Rice lost, he still was excited to go to the game and didn't want to leave until it was like,
the kids get the butterflies because they just like going to a sporting event. That's huge.
And not just that, when he asked the question, like he asked me a question at the beginning of the game yesterday when we rewatched it again at 1 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. He was like, he saw the lineup. He was like, and he didn't say nothing for about 2 minutes. He said, "Daddy, why wasn't Yasiel Puig in the lineup?"
That's a father moment where you just got to step back and be like, yeah, he did because he's paying attention.
And I had to rewind it because I didn't see it.
Jason, I hear you out there. You said much to the wife's chagrin, stayed for the comeback win. Starting to take a page out of my Rockets book. Too loud to hear suggesting we leave. Too loud to hear wife suggesting we leave. Oops, love that. He tweeted that. Lamont said, personal preference, fellas. I would have left at halftime. Texans do not warrant a blind following anymore. Lamont's a little bitter. Other people timing in. Ike, I see you. I hear you. And I'm going to never stop doing what I do the way I do it just for people like you. Appreciate that. Tyler says, I'm hard to please. Y'all do a good job. No bias radio. Always a little better. That's why you should be like everyone else. 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Thank God Travis's mic isn't up, but it's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson until 4 o'clock. Nick Sherrara behind the glass. And like I like to tell you people, we like to kick some ass. We like to bring it strong. And here's the thing. Why we do it is because we do it like nobody else, because we try and do a national type show on a local perspective, which means we still know who your teams are. We identify with you and the teams, and we break it down. But we break it down from more of a national perspective where we don't have a stake in the game, except for Travis. But what we really try to do is we try to give you honest opinions, because the thing that I always figured out when I was growing up, and I'm much like Trav, I was lucky enough to grow up with a dad that loved sports. He loved it on radio. So he listened to radio religiously. And when he did, it was instilled in me, and that's why I love radio as much as I do. That's why I'm doing what I do now, and I got out of doing just one sport so I can talk about all the major sports and all the things going on, because it's so much fun. But in the process of doing that and really breaking down these games, we do it from the perspective of what I always wanted. I don't want to hear the Kool-Aid. No. That's why we created that on this show.
Yeah.
You know, if you're drinking the Kool-Aid, then you want us to...
Wendy, talk to me.
I have no idea what that was, but... We want the oh yeah, because if you're drinking the fruity drink,
the fruity drink.
Yeah, we're not gonna say the purple drink. That'd be drank. We're talking about the fruity drink. Then you just want to talk about all sunshine and rainbows and the fact that the Texans just dominated again and they absolutely took care of the Colts, and they were a juggernaut to be dealt with, and they're not only going to win the division, they're going to do a lot of things. If you want that, you have options. Just like when you go to the grocery store and which one you go to, or when you go to the bar and you figure out which drink you're going to have. You got other options. Spin the dial like the Wheel of Fortune. But if you want honest perspectives from your team where we won't blow smoke up your, Nick, I'll say this time, butt, just to make you happy so that we don't have to worry about the button. Then you're in the right spot. We are going to give it to you the way you're supposed to take it.
Yeah.
Okay? Realistically.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's the beauty about, and that's why I love Monday and Fridays. I mean, one, because I get to come hang out with you. Two, because I get to talk foolishness on the radio.
With me.
With you for 3.5 hours. You know, I get an extra half, you know what I mean, when we sit there and just talk.
Yep.
But, you know what? There's no place like this place. There's no place where you're going to be able to get talk. Like you said, we don't just cover just Houston sports.
Right.
We cover everything. We cover from baseball. We're going to talk, you know, everybody knows today we're going to talk about everything. Yeah. We might even talk about tennis today.
We might get some tennis because we got some things to talk about. We'll talk about baseball. Again, you know my sayings that we're building a following for. You people are actually getting good about tweeting them back to me. But if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it or see it, did it really happen? Like the Rockets double overtime victory Saturday night in preseason, which no one knew took place, except for even my man Raj, our intern, who is like as diehard a Houston sports fan as there can be, had no interest in watching that thing. So I feel bad for the players that had to endure double overtime in preseason. We'll get to them eventually when they became relevant and start playing for real, I think, but we'll see. We know that you guys really don't care about baseball when the Astros aren't involved in the conversation, and not much college football, but yet we keep you somewhat entertained and dialed into college football because there are some relevant games. And Trav's got his Noles, and we all know with my Badgers and Packers, we all know what happened. But that's why we keep it real, because even in those cases, we're honest. I told you the Badgers would hang in, but they would not beat Ohio State, and they did exactly that.
Yeah.
And it was painful, but they got a freshman quarterback, much like you.
Yeah.
And at the wrong time, he made the one mistake he didn't need to make, and everybody said, well, they got to overtime. It didn't have to get to overtime if he doesn't make that mistake.
I thought you were going to beat them.
Yeah, they were playing well. It is a real home field advantage there, but it didn't happen. And on the case of the Packers, I'll be the first one to tell you, Aaron Rodgers has not been Aaron Rodgers for almost a year now, and everybody's blaming Olivia Munn. I'm not going that far. It's not the girlfriend, okay?
Is that her last name, Munn or Nunn?
Munn. None is something where she would be wearing, like, she and Sally Field would be hanging out with black on, but that's not, with the big winged hat.
I mean, I don't know, man. She's not my speed anyway, but.
Well, okay. Well, she's Aaron's. And in the process, he has looked like garbage. I'm not blaming her, but he's got happy feet right now, and so that's a problem, too. So, again, I don't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm a realist. I want them to win, but I'm going to tell you that, really, right now, just like the Texans, the biggest glaring problem on both teams is the quarterback position.
Yes.
I feel more confident Green Bay will figure it out before 17 does down on Kirby. But, hey, they're about the same spot. And the good news is the Texans are in first place. The Packers are not.
Yeah.
So, but we keep it real, and we bring it as good and as hard as we can without being X-rated. And we allow you to make the choice. And if you make the choice and you like it, do what Adrian and my good friends on Twitter do and spread the word so we can get more of a following so that people can realize that we are here to stay. Adrian, speaking of Adrian from Santa Fe, wants to know about, talk a little bit about Bill O'Brien. And
yo, Adrian!
Adrian, normally when you call, I ask how Paulie is.
Hey, Trav, love the passion. Joel, I miss you on the other station, but that's another day, another story.
I appreciate it.
Now that that's done, Friday, Joel, I called you and I said Bill O'Brien needs to find out what Brock does best. If we can see that Miller works good in space, yes, why can't he? And I think he listened to that podcast, but I think it took him halftime. And the word on the street is that him and Brock had a halftime discussion that wasn't so polite. But that's another day for another story.
Now, was it a halftime discussion, Adrian? Because, by the way, I asked you how Paulie was, and you had a great response. But
it was after a meeting.
It was after a meeting last week. But I'm with you because we also have educated listeners like you. And I was the one that said they abandoned the running game against the Vikings. And they can't do that with a guy that they spend a lot of money on that gets more touches than anybody. And you were dead on when you said whether it's in the passing game or getting more carries, he's got to get his touches. There's no doubt he got his touches last night.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And he helped my fantasy team. So that's 250 in the bucket. Thank you, brother. Anyway, I'm with the gasoline take, but not just yet. Okay. Because now that elephant that thinks he's an elephant in the room, we find out because – according to me and everybody else that's finished watching, good fan or no fan, they'll take care of that, I'm sure. But now we know what Brock does best. Now we know what Miller does best.
What does Brock do best?
If you take that to Denver,
stares down receivers.
If you take that to Denver, I'll be happy. Win or lose, I see him continue. If you go back to what you were doing, we'll all know that the Einstein is not as smart.
Yes.
And fellas, I'll be knocking on the door of the house again another day.
We got the rocking chair for you, Adrian, and now we've actually got cushions that we tie to the bottom of the seat because it's getting more comfortable for you every time you come in. Because not only do you participate, but you bring good takes, and they're educated, and they actually can go back and you can go back to them and refer to them and say, hey, I said this, and you're absolutely right. We give credit where credit is due, and you deserve all the credit on that one. Because, Trav, we talked about it. I got tired of hearing about the Vikings defense. What I really got really, really incensed about was Bill O'Brien, who took over the play calling, abandoned the run.
Yeah, he did.
And if you abandon the run and you don't have balance, you as a defender better than anybody can tell you, you know what's coming and you know how to defend it.
And you tee off. And that's one thing when we talk about this with this game that you saw them doing. They stuck with the run. No matter what the score was, they stuck with Lamar Miller. They stuck with him. They continued to try to get him the ball, get him his touches. And what did they do? They ended up, it was a little flukish for them to come back being down 14 with about 5 minutes left. And to be honest, scored with, I think 2 minutes and 50 seconds. They scored twice within 2 minutes of within 2 minutes of each other. I think that was a little flukish. And that some of that has to go on how the Colts actually played. But I just like the fact they stuck with it and they stuck to the game plan and they got out what they needed to get out of, and that was the W. Was it pretty? No.
No.
But if you're a fan of the Texans, you'll take it by any means necessary.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Vontae Davis called his grandmama?
Yeah, he should have.
He should have.
Yeah, he should have.
Because he played a hell of a game.
He did.
But you do know what I'm referring to, right? Back in Hard Knocks when he got traded?
Of course.
And he called one of the greatest scenes of all time.
But, I mean, nobody wants to get traded.
But instead of focusing on, I got to get my stuff together, I got to catch a plane. Vontae, what else do you need? I got to call my grandmama.
I got to call my grandmama.
That was classic.
Hey, listen.
He doesn't look like the sharpest tool in the shed, but he is. Okay, look, let me put it this way. He's not the steak knife in the drawer, but I don't think he's the soup spoon.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because when he places him up, man, he is locked down on the corner position. They got a good one. They might not have got a good one in Cromartie when they signed him off the scrap heap.
Well, you know what? They got – he did very well for them.
Come on now.
While he was out there?
I know you're going to protect him, but come on now.
You don't like Cromartie out there when he was out there?
I didn't say I don't like him, but no, that whole thing was destined to fail because he came in late, and then it was a late signing, and then you expected him to be a savior, and he wasn't.
No, he was there to patch things up.
Where'd he go to school?
What do you mean? Where
there you go.
Bobby
and
Bobby
that's
University
why Travis is 75, and I'm 124/7. That's what time it is.
Hey,
and I don't need your favorite watch company or mine. I just know I'm 24/7, and you're about 75% of the time. Well, actually, now that came into the play, you might be about 62.
Oh, you rat.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever your percentage is, you know, you tune in here, and the percentage of you leaving the show smarter and entertained while you're here, that's 150. We're here for you until 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson in the studio till 4 o'clock on a manic Monday. A magic Monday if you're all sunshine and rainbows because your Texans got another W and they're 4-2. I would beg to differ that all is fine on Kirby. In fact, with the injury report just coming out, as I Jim Rome it, and I let you know, K.J. Dillon, ACL, out for the year, I would assume. Kevin Johnson, who I was about to say played his tail off yesterday. I like the way he plays, and he impresses me more and more every time I see him. Unfortunately, broken foot, got to assume at least for the short term, he's going to be out. So right now, off the top, you just realize they have a glaring need in the back of that defense.
They do.
The secondary is going to need some help. Jonathan Joseph left a couple times with a couple different – came in with an injury, left with another injury, a forearm injury, still tried to make some plays, make some tackles, was on the field, but he's dinged up. Kareem's been dinged up. They're going to have to address the secondary and see who's out there. Your boy Cromartie, who we're just talking about.
Do you bring him in? Do you bring him in? Or here's the thing. We need him here. But one of your wees also need him in the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Packers really have a glaring needed secondary, as well as the fact that Dances with the Stars wants to know if Aaron wants to be the next Rodgers that does reality TV because he's got happy feet.
His brother's
that's
already.
What I'm saying.
I don't know, man. He does have happy feet, but here's my question:
mm-hmm.
what's going through his head? Because this is a guy who had ice water in his veins for the longest time. And when you talk, when guys talk about him, what is the first thing he said? He's a bad man.
Yeah.
You know, and
so I came in and I talked to the quarterback whisperer because I had to, I needed answers. I came, you know how absolutely livid I was yesterday.
Yeah.
So I talked to Salisbury. I said, Sean, you're the quarterback whisperer. Break it down for me, man, because he goes, Joel, there's never been a quarterback that I've seen where I can't even tell you what a weakness is for that man. He had everything. He's got the arm strength. He's got the feet. He's got the smarts. He's got everything that you need to be a leader, and he's not playing well. He said his feet are so happy right now that he is not planting on any throws. And the thing is, he's missing the throws and the reads that he used to be able to do in his sleep.
Well, it might be because, I mean,
he's got all day to throw, too.
Yeah, he does have all day to throw, but I think the O-line –
O-line's been doing a phenomenal job.
They're doing a lot. I think they're doing a lot better than I expected them to do.
But here's the thing. He had Cobb a step and a half behind the defense on two deep balls and underthrew both of them. Then
because his feet was moving.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Then on the classic Aaron Rodgers where you draw him with the hard count. He drew him. They didn't throw the penalty, but he thought he had a free play. Cobb is so butt naked, he doesn't even have a towel or a doily. He's that wide open in the end zone.
I haven't heard that one.
And he threw it into the second row. He missed him that badly. And that's when you start going, what is he doing?
I think he tried a little too hard when it came to that throw. Because to me, it looked like his feet were still moving, and he kind of opened up a little bit, and it sailed on him.
But you know how strong his arm is? He could do it from the elbow to the wrist. He didn't even have to wind that thing back up, and he could have completed that ball. And that's what bothers me the most. Now, you and I are talking in the break. Comparing the two, I'd rather be in Green Bay's situation and realize that you got a general manager that thinks he is the second coming of Jesus Christ in terms of analyzing talent out of the draft, and that they can go into a game with only one healthy tailback who wasn't healthy in Eddie Lacy and two wide receivers, and that backfired.
Did you not see how pissed the head coach was when he was about to go for it on fourth down and one, and all of a sudden he looks
no Lacy to be found.
There's no Lacy to be found. He's sitting over there with the trainer getting his ankles wrapped. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody that pissed off when they got something on their mind and it doesn't, and the guy's not available.
Normally he's mad because they forgot to bring his drive-through order because that's what Mike McCarthy's all about. But he was furious. And then he does the same thing Ted Thompson does. And Ted Thompson, look, he's a shrewd evaluator of talent. But they're light in the secondary, like the Texans are going to be and like the Texans have been as well.
Yeah.
They're light in the secondary. But he decides he doesn't need to go see who's out there in free agents or guys that he might be able to acquire. He brings a kid off his practice squad who gets used, abused, and absolutely thrown by the wayside by the touchdowns the Cowboys got on the deep balls. He fell for a double move and fell right on his keister. And on the very next play, they busted him in the corner of the end zone for a touchdown. You got enough talent to win, and as we talked about, that window when it's open doesn't stay open very wide, but it closes pretty quick.
The window's open right now. Aaron Rodgers is a talent that he'll be on top for a while if the people around him
right. So as long as you got all the skill positions covered, and Jordy Nelson's not even close. He's not trusting the knee right now. But if you can, Aaron can write himself. So I'm not worried about that. But if you don't continue to put talent around them, it's on you, man, when they don't win. Not the players, because the players can only do so much. That's why the Texans, as long as you are 4-2, with all these secondary issues that you have right now, with all these injuries that we just mentioned coming out of the break, Kevin Johnson, broken foot, KJ Dillon, ACL, Kareem came in banged up, Jonathan Joseph leaves banged up. You got to go out and look and see who's out there because you know what? You're in a good spot. You're in first place. Green Bay's going to scrap just to get in the playoffs because Minnesota's running away. So,
well, I think the Texans got a scrap. I mean, yeah, they are 4-2 right now, and there's a big difference between being 4-2 and being 3-3.
Right.
But I still think they got a scrap.
And I don't deny that because I said it was a big, big game Sunday, and they're lucky to win it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it gets any easier with Denver next Monday night. You got Green Bay coming up. You got a lot of teams on your schedule. Forget the division games, which you have to win.
You have to win. And not just that, you saw what Jacksonville did when they beat Chicago.
And everybody said, Jacksonville, what you guys said they were going to be good. They're taking
the steps to get better.
Right. We're not going to say that they're overnight gangbusters, but they're coming.
They're not a team where you look at them and say, this team is trash.
Say it with me like you like to say it. They're coming.
They're coming.
Huh. There you go. All right. With that, William, you've been holding a long time. We appreciate it. You want to talk about number 12, number 17?
Hey, what's the business there, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's up, Will I Am?
Hey, man, I don't know which gentleman was comparing Aaron Rodgers to Brock Osweiler.
No, we would never do that.
No, saying, man.
No,
we would never make that comparison. We were saying both guys are struggling.
Who said this?
You know, I know Brock got a Super Bowl ring, but Aaron got one from playing in the game.
That's a good point.
And I think Aaron is just getting a little old.
He's getting a little old.
But I think he's going to look at tape and everything, and he's going to recover. The problem is, Kirk Osweiler is a decent quarterback, but he's not a $72 million quarterback. That's what the problem is. If the Texans is not throwing all the money at the quarterback, they're throwing it at J.J. $100 million out for the season. I know they're renegotiating his contract, I think, for less of money. I get it. But, man, what is Rick Smith doing? O'Brien, who's calling these shots? I think they did pretty good with Summer, with Miller, with Florida. And Brock needs to figure out how to get that ball to DeAndre Hopkins, because Hopkins is a great player. That's all I got, fellas.
Hey, man, we appreciate the call, William. Don't be a stranger. I guess the bottom line is that he's kind of going back towards my comments last week about how Rick Smith needs to be somewhat on the hot seat. Other than that, look, they got the ball to Hopkins, aside from the tight ends.
They did.
They went back to Texans offensive 2 years ago because they didn't have Fuller on the other side.
And that's another thing we need to touch on. Because right now, I want to go over to Kirby and slap the taste out of Bill O'Brien's mouth for pump faking me, thinking Will Fuller was going to play last night, and I started him on my fantasy team.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about fantasy because Miller pretty much single-handedly beat me. But, yeah, you're right. But you know why he did that?
Because
the inactive list was already full up.
Because somebody let the cat out of the bag, and he could have easily activated somebody else.
Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
It's all about gamesmanship.
But I'm not, I guess, man. I just felt like if he's dressed, he has to play.
So Ed Oliver is the 5-star recruit that plays at the University of Houston. He made a commitment that no other 5-star has ever done before. But in the process, he's also let people know who the guy he'd like to emulate is, and he's taking some heat for it. We'll find out what you think on the show, along with a lot of other takes that you have, including the Texans, if you want to be a part of the show. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us and call us on that number, or you can tweet us as we are here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.